The message this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of God. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. The passage of Scripture that we are in today is actually a continuation of Luke chapter 11. A Pharisee had welcomed Jesus into his home for a public dinner, and other Pharisees and guests were there. At the very outset, the Pharisee was astonished that Jesus had accepted his invitation to dinner at his house and had not gone through the man-made Pharisees' custom of ritual hand-washing before the meal, which was considered by the Pharisees something that every truly godly, truly holy person would do, though it's not commanded in God's Word. And Jesus, knowing the Pharisees' thoughts, dresses down the Pharisees and exposes the falseness of their religion. The Pharisees had taken the true religion of the Old Testament and made it into a false religion. They did that by adding man-made rules to God's rules, by majoring on the externals and ignoring the internal matters of the heart, by majoring on the minors and ignoring the major things, by actually concealing evil rather than dealing with evil, by making burdensome requirements for ordinary people while at the same time excusing themselves from those requirements, by paying lip service to the prophets of the Old Testament while ignoring their message, and by obscuring the truth of the Scriptures that they were supposed to be the clear interpreters of. That is what we looked at last week. And chapter 11 ended like this. As he, Jesus, went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something that he might say. And then chapter 12 begins like this. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So, this is a continuation of what was started in chapter 11, that discussion about the false religion of the Pharisees at dinner. And now Jesus is warning his disciples. And what he warns his disciples about is hypocrisy. Because that was the main problem with the Pharisees and with the religion of the Pharisees. They were hypocrites, and their religion was hypocritical. The English word hypocrite is a transliterated word from Greek. In Greek, the word hypocrite simply referred to an actor. And in ancient Greek culture, an actor engaged in a rather honorable profession. There was nothing wrong with being an actor playing a role on stage, but when someone begins to be a hypocrite, to be an actor in life and in religion, that is a despicable thing. A religious hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something that he is not. He is a fake. He is a phony. He is a wolf dressed up in sheep's clothing. So Jesus is warning here against hypocrisy, and he gives several compelling reasons why not to be a hypocrite. Why is it better to be true to God than to be a hypocrite? First of all, it is better to be true to God than to be a hypocrite because of the power of evil influence. Verse 1 says, "In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together and they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, 'Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" Notice that Jesus calls hypocrisy the leaven of the Pharisees. Why did Jesus call hypocrisy the leaven of the Pharisees? Leaven is something that you put into dough or batter to make it rise. In modern times, we call it yeast or maybe baking soda. You put that stuff in a batch of dough and it permeates the whole thing and it causes it to expand and rise. And that is just the thing that Jesus is concerned about. Hypocrisy, like leaven, can have a permeating, expanding influence so that it spreads. Jesus was concerned about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees spreading, and so he warned his disciples, and his warning is to us too. Beware of hypocrisy so that you will not be affected by it and you will not become a spreader of the evil influence of it. Why is it better to be true to God than to be a hypocrite? Reason number two is the fact of exposure. Verse 2 says, "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." There is coming a time when everything is going to be revealed. That's why cover-up is not a good strategy. When you try to cover something up, you are just delaying judgment, because one day the cover-up will be over, even in this life. That principle works itself out over and over again. People get by sometimes for a long, long time covering things up, and then they eventually come out. That is not always true in this life. But the truth will certainly come out on the day of the final judgment. Jesus is saying, ultimately, finally, that is true of every sin. Everything that we do and say in our hearts will one day be displayed for all to see. There will be nothing hidden anymore. Everything will be exposed in the last judgment. Romans 2:16 says that on the judgment day, God will judge the secrets of men's hearts through Jesus Christ. The husband who has secretly been unfaithful to his wife will be exposed. The wife who has been untrue to her husband will be exposed. The teenager who is slipping around taking drugs will be exposed. All the cheaters and liars and thieves will be exposed. The gossipers who slander other people's character behind their backs will be exposed. The traitors and backstabbers will be exposed. The preachers whose public image has been that of spiritual men of God, but in private are rotten scoundrels, will be exposed. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Why is it better to be true to God than to be a hypocrite? Reason number three is because of the fear of God. Verse 4 says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Here is the train of thought in these verses. A person might be tempted to be a hypocrite because he is afraid of what man can do to him. He might be tempted to not be true to his convictions because he is afraid that his convictions might be unpopular with the crowd that he is in. Have you ever been in a situation like that where it's not popular to be faithful to Jesus Christ, so you suddenly become a hypocrite to please men rather than God? It is better to be true to God because He has the power to cast your soul into hell. The most that man can do to you is kill your body, but God can cast your soul into hell. Men can kill your body, but that is not the worst thing that can ever happen to you. There's something worse. You can be cast into hell. But there's also something better. You can have favor with God in eternity. You can be true to God now and have favor with Him in eternity after this life is over. Bishop Hugh Latimer, in about the year 1530, was given the opportunity to preach before the King of England at Windsor. He was invited to preach before the King of England. A large assemblage of worshipers waited in silence while the royal party entered. His Majesty the King took his place along with the lords and ladies of the court. Hugh Latimer ascended to the pulpit and read the scriptures. Then, after he began a brief introduction, he paused and stood silent for a minute as if he were listening to something. And then, in an audible voice, he said, "Latimer, Latimer, Latimer, be careful what you say. Henry the King is here." Stepping back a bit, he again paused. Then in a louder voice, he said, "Latimer, Latimer, Latimer, be careful what you say. The King of Kings is here." And then he preached faithfully and clearly with his whole heart the truth of the Scriptures. He was verbally reminding himself whom to fear most, because it is easy to get intimidated in the presence of powerful or influential men. If you fear man more than God, then your religion will be hypocritical, because you will be more concerned about what people think about you than about what God thinks of you. Don't fear man. Don't fear persecution. Don't fear those who can harm your body. Don't fear those who can kill your body, but rather fear Him who, after He has killed, has authority to cast into hell. You might hear that word, and you might think that Jesus is talking about the devil. He's not talking about the devil. He's talking about God. He's saying, don't fear those who can persecute you. Don't fear those who can take away your life. Don't fear those who can only kill your body. Fear the one who has the authority to cast not only your body, but your soul into hell. Fear God. Because God is in charge of everything and everyone, including your soul. Now, the fear of God is something that has been almost eradicated from the vocabulary of evangelical religion in our own time. And when we hear fear God, we probably think of it in a negative sense. This is not saying to fear God because He is some sinister, irascible monster who takes pleasure in terrorizing people and punishing people. No, what is being said here is to reverence God more than anything or anyone else, to care more about what He thinks than anybody else thinks, to love Him more than anything else, to value Him more than anyone else, to treasure Him above everything else. That is what it means to fear God. It is to revere Him. It is to desire to please Him. It is to long for Him, to hold Him in awe, to adore Him, to treasure Him, to delight in Him, to acknowledge Him to be high and exalted and above everything else. This is the fear of God. Now, what goes right along with the fear of God is the care of God. Why is it better to be true to God than to be a hypocrite? It is better because of the care of God. Verse 6 says, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows." It is better to be true to God because you are not forgotten by Him. God knows where all of the little birds are, and He knows about you too. And you are worth more to Him than sparrows. And if men do kill you, God will take care of your soul. If you fear men more than God, then it means that you don't really have any faith in God. It means that you haven't really believed in Christ, or you don't believe that God can take care of you, or you don't believe that He really cares for you. Have you ever thought about what we might look like from the perspective of a bird? Somebody was thinking like that when they wrote this poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Well, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Jesus said, "You're of more value than many sparrows." This is another way of saying the Lord cares about those who belong to Him. He knows and He cares. You see, the logic is this. If God cares about sparrows that you can buy 5 for 2 pennies, how much more will He care about men and women who have, by grace, been brought into a saving relationship with Him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Why is it better to be true to God than to be a hypocrite? Because of what it means to acknowledge Jesus Christ and to be acknowledged by Jesus Christ. Having true religion and not being a hypocrite is about allegiance to Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Why does Jesus bring this up in a warning about false religion and hypocrisy? He brings it up because He is the most crucial factor in true religion. The determining point as to whether you will be accepted or rejected at the final judgment is Jesus. He is the determining factor in the final judgment and where you will spend eternity. He is the only Savior for sinners, and there is absolutely no other. What you do with Jesus is the most important thing that you will ever do in your life. To acknowledge Him is to acknowledge all that is true about Him, about His person, about His work, about His words. And then to live a life of integrity consistent with that. You cannot confess Jesus and deny His claims about Himself or His teaching. You cannot confess Jesus and have an ideology that is contrary to His teaching. That is hypocritical. A person who made a profession of faith in Jesus but has not lived a life of allegiance to Him is a hypocrite. A person who confesses Jesus in church on Sunday but will not confess Jesus before the world is a hypocrite. If a person will not confess Jesus before the world, then Jesus will not confess that person before the angels in heaven. In other words, Jesus will not be that person's Savior. Where is your allegiance going to be? Are you going to stand with Jesus and with the Bible, or are you going to give in to the culture around you? Is your allegiance going to be with Jesus? That is the most crucial issue that you will ever face in your life. Why is it better to be true to God than to be a hypocrite? Well, the final reason is because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 10 through 12 says, "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." The Pharisees, whom Jesus called hypocrites, were in danger of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Not too long before this, they were ascribing to Satan what the Holy Spirit through Christ was achieving. Moreover, they were doing this willfully and deliberately. In spite of all the evidences to the contrary, they were still claiming that Jesus was expelling demons by the power of Beelzebul. Now, to be forgiven implies that the sinner be truly penitent. Among the opponents of Jesus, such sorrow for sin was totally lacking. For penitence, they substituted hardening. For confession, they substituted plotting. Thus, by means of their own criminal and completely inexcusable callousness, they were dooming themselves. Their sin was unpardonable because they were unwilling to tread the path that leads to pardon. For a thief, for an adulterer, and for a murderer, there is hope. The message of the gospel may cause him to cry out to God, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner," because he recognizes that he is a sinner. But when a man becomes so hardened that he has made up his mind not to pay any attention to the promptings of the Spirit, not even to listen to his pleading and warning voice, he has placed himself on the road that leads to disaster. He has sinned the sin unto death. For anyone who is truly penitent, no matter how shameful his transgressions may have been, there is no reason to despair. On the other hand, there is no excuse for being indifferent, as if the subject of the unpardonable sin is of no concern to the average church member today. The blasphemy against the Spirit is the result of gradual progress in sin. Grieving the Spirit, if unrepented of, leads to resisting the Spirit, which, if persisted in, leads to quenching the Spirit. The more the Holy Spirit is resisted, the harder the heart gets, until it reaches a place that it gets so hard that it is impossible to repent. The solution is found in the words of Psalm 97:7-8. "Today, oh, that you would listen to His voice, harden not your hearts." Now, if you need help to stay true to God in defense of your convictions, Jesus told His disciples that the Spirit would teach them in the hour of trial what to say. That prophecy was fulfilled in the speeches of Peter and John and Paul in the book of Acts. He can do the same thing for you and me. Nothing is so injurious to a man's spiritual life as hypocrisy. And why should we play the hypocrite, seeing that it does not profit us in any way to do so? But above all, how could we play the hypocrite while knowing that we are thereby being disloyal to our Savior and our Master. There's no reason for being a hypocrite. For our Heavenly Father cares for us. Jesus intercedes for us. And the Holy Spirit instructs us so that we have everything that we need to lead a sincere and fearless life of allegiance to Jesus Christ. So let's take hold of ourselves and be done with the hypocrisy and be faithful and true to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.